Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. We welcome you especially if you are a visitor with us, or if this is your first visit to us. And today, we also welcome into membership Wilhelmina, Camilo, Kevin, Catherine and Jenna. But that's for later. I'm sorry to tell you that Martin Foster has died. There will be a service for him on the 18th of October at this church. The timings are still not yet known. We will be decorating the church for harvest next Saturday. So if you're able to come, please come at 10 o'clock next Saturday to help Steve and the crew. Is it 11? There you are. You heard it here first. 11 o'clock next Saturday. Very civilised. That's a very civilised time. Also, because next Sunday is harvest, don't forget to bring your harvest gifts, and there will be a bring and share lunch after the service. So food to bring and share and food to contribute to the food bank. As you know, we are in the middle of our Link Romania project, and this is where we fill as many shoeboxes as we can and send them overseas to people in need for Christmas. If anyone would like to fill a shoebox to send abroad this Christmas, but doesn't have the time or maybe the energy to do all the shopping for this, could you see Rosemary, who has a large quantity of empty boxes and will fill one up for you and give it to you to wrap? So how's that? Your own service. Rosemary, will you put your hand up? So if you don't have time to fill your box, Rosemary is happy to do it for you. They do take quite a lot, those boxes, so yes, that's a really good offer. We found out this morning that Brook Street car park was closed. From the front here, we have no idea why this has happened, so we're going to look into it, and as soon as we know more, we'll send a group email around to give you more information. But as I say, we don't know why that's happened. There's lots of information on the service sheet, so please take this home with you as a reminder. And finally, Tony.
I'm standing up to completely waste your time, because you already know what I'm going to talk about. You read it on your service paper. It's the 13th of October, the South Oxy Choir that used to be on television. You remember the series called The Choir? Well, our son-in-law, has taken over that choir, and they're celebrating their 10th birthday here with a concert at 7 o'clock on the 13th of October. Please come, and if you're really keen, I shall be around afterwards because I have some tickets that I can sell you. Thank you very much.
We join together to worship God. Come, let us worship our Maker, for we are under God's care. Come, let us worship our Maker, for God knows us and loves us. Come, let us worship our Maker, for God alone is worthy of our praise. We join together to sing 10,000 Reasons.
Thank you. is great, then your heart is kind. For your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 greetings for my heart to find. Lord, oh my soul, worship is all.
Don't sit down. Psalm. Aha! I'm ahead of you. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. Your praise reaches up to the heavens. It is sung by children and babies. You are safe and secure from all your enemies. You stop anyone who opposes you. When I look at the sky, which you have made, at the moon and the stars, which you set in their places, what are human beings that you think of them? Mere mortals that you care for them. Yet you have made them inferior only to yourself. You crowned them with glory and honor. You appointed them rulers over everything you made. You placed them over all creation, sheep and cattle and the wild animals too, the birds and the fish and the creatures in the sea. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world.
Now, have a seat.
And we join to pray. Let us pray.
O God, creator and sustainer of all life, draw us together in this place today, in the name of Jesus, to stop and to reflect on the big things of life. Help us to celebrate your majesty and to experience the blessings that you give to us
that we experience day by day. There are many ways in which we hurt one another and grieve you. So forgive us when we have treated our lives and the lives of others in ways that devalue us and them. Forgive us when we've hurt those who are closest to us. Forgive us when we have failed to celebrate each day. Help us, Lord our God, and the Lord Jesus gives to us forgiveness and says to each one of us that our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We join together to say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive us who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And thus is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. I need a glamorous assistant today, and Sulhi has sort of volunteered to be my glamorous assistant. So please come forward, Sulhi. Now, over the years that I've known Sulhi, there have been occasions when she's asked me how to pronounce a word, or she's asked me what a word means, and I've been quite happy, albeit a little bit stumped sometimes, to try and explain what an English word means. I think she does brilliantly well with her English. But as if English, basic English, isn't difficult enough to learn as it is, she then has to put up with all the little interesting quirky sayings that we have in our English language, and she sometimes asks me about those, and I've tried to explain what they mean, and she writes them down, and we have a bit of fun with it, a bit of a laugh over it. And Sulhi told me that they were called idioms, which is quite a complex word. A lot of English people don't use that word idiom, which is why I was so impressed with you. And we're thinking about Jesus and his sayings, because there's a lot of sayings that Jesus has in the Bible, and the children will be looking at some of those today, where we say something and it's difficult to understand because it's not got a literal meaning. So I thought we'd have a bit of fun, and I thought I'd ask Sulhi to share some of her knowledge of idioms, things that she's learned from me, which are probably completely useless, but things that she's learned. So we're going to have some idioms come up on the screen, and hopefully Sulhi will give you the correct meaning. I'm not sure if she's ever used this in real life, but the first one is the early bird catches the worm. Can you remember what that means?
I think so. People who arrive earlier and request something first, they will get the best deals.
Yes, very good. People who arrive earlier or perhaps request something first, they get in quick and they get the best deals. And yeah, that's brilliant. Well done. Thank you. Next one. Killing two birds with one stone. Can you remember what that means?
Yes. To accomplish two different things at the same time? Yeah.
Multitasking, yes, multitasking. Accomplishing more than one thing at any one time. Okay, what's the next one, please? This one. Sulhi came to me one day and she said, I overheard a conversation and it was about a horse and I didn't understand what it was. And I said, why didn't you ask the person what they were saying? And I discovered there are so many idioms featuring horses. We literally went through lots of them, didn't we? To try and work out what this person had said to her. But this is the one, to hear something straight from the horse's mouth.
To hear something direct from the person who concerned. That's the source of truth?
Yes. Yeah. So to hear it straight from the person concerned is to hear something straight from the horse's mouth. Yeah. And the last one? Too many cooks spoil the broth.
Something doesn't go well because there are too many ways to do something.
Yes. Well done. I think round of applause. There are many, many more idioms I discovered when I looked on the websites. So I've got about 100 more to teach you, Sulhi. But quite often Jesus does say some things that on the face of it sound complicated because they are metaphors. And it's up to us to dig deep into God's word and to ask each other and to find out what those things mean and then to go on and apply those things in our lives. And that's what the children are going to be learning a little bit more about today. But first we're going to sing Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful. So please stand and join in with the next song.
The girlies.
Bye.
Go. I should have said that it was the Triggs who picked the first hymn. And it was obviously Kevin who picked the Jesus Love is Very... No, I lied. I'm lying. That was just for the flow. So here we go with the Gospel according to Mark again, which we are making our way through. Jesus has previously modified the Mosaic law, and the Pharisees now hope that Jesus will dismiss the law, but Jesus has got a different and a more radical way of looking at the whole thing. Then the passage goes on with, once again, views about children. Janine, are you set up there to read it? This is Janine Goddard. And she will read this passage to us.
The reading is Mark chapter 10, verses 2 to 16. Some Pharisees came to him and tried to trap him. Tell us, they asked, does our law allow a man to divorce his wife? Jesus answered with a question, "What law did Moses give you?" Their answer was, "Moses gave permission for a man to write a divorce notice and send his wife away." Jesus said to them, "Moses wrote this law for you because you are so hard to teach. But in the beginning, at the time of creation, God made them male and female, as the scripture says, 'And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and unite with his wife, and the two will become one.' So they are no longer two, but one. No human being then must separate what God has joined together." When they went back into the house, the disciples asked Jesus about this matter. He said to them, "A man who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against his wife. In the same way, a woman who divorces her husband and marries another man commits adultery." Some people brought children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples scolded the people. When Jesus noticed this, he was angry, and he said to his disciples, "Let the children come to me, and do not stop them, because the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you that whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on each of them, and blessed them. Amen.
Today, Wilhelmina, Camilo, where's Camilo? There he is. Kevin, Catherine, and Jenna are to become members of the church. And this is a time to celebrate and to give thanks. But the passage strikes a warning note of failure. Failure of relationships, and also failure in how we perceive other people. So these are stories of sight and of blindness, and that is exactly what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Sometimes we see it, we get it, we lean in, we step out in faith, and then we try to snatch control, we make plans, we keep life small, and we fail to know joy, and we end up flat on our face. It changes everything to be a follower of Jesus. The way you view other people above all else. So the two stories held together in that reading have the theme lying underneath them of a distorted view of people. So good news, Will, Catherine, Kevin, Jenna, and Camilo. We see you as precious, and we recognize also that you are broken. Not because of anything that you've done, but just because of your humanity. In our society, certain people are seen as being more important than other people, better than others. And that is not how it is in the kingdom of God. Indeed, if we are people who follow Jesus, then Jesus, as we came across in a few chapters ago, Jesus is the one who pulls a child into the middle of them and says, "That is what it looks like to be a leader, greatness, those things are what you would find in a child. So the good news is, brothers and sisters, the rest of society might think that you are a total worthless loser, but we, together, think we're great. Hurrah! I had a bit of a plan to put outside on the front there. Losers welcome. Right. But Ray said, look, Leslie, everybody thinks that Christians are losers. It's not big news. Don't waste your ink. So for Will and for Camilo and for Jenna, Catherine and Kevin, as they become members of this church, it is not that suddenly their eyes have been open and all the experiences and all the rest of their life have just been background music till they've come to the pinnacle of what it is to be a Christian. It's not how it is. We're saying, as we receive them into membership, that at this season in their lives, we are the people that they will journey with. They will make their contribution and we will make our contribution to them. And to know their value and to know that the love of God is transformative for all of us. The next bit of the story is the closed eyes of the male questioners who come to Jesus. Divorce might have been for them an interesting topic for debate. Bit of a chew in the fat, backwards and forwards. I think, he thinks, and so they rant. But there would have been, I guarantee there would have been people standing round about who actually, their marriages were rubbish. There would have been people there for whom this was not a cheery debate. It was a real painful issue. There is a lie in our society that divorce is easy. It's like changing your shoes. It's not true. It's a horrible, messy business. We have to be careful about the things that we just decide we're going to have a wee bit of a chat about. Your arbitrary discussion about homosexuality is my relationship with my children. Your wee interesting debate about divorce and the banning of it is, for somebody like me, physically life itself. So we need to be tender in the way that we discuss some of these topics. The final thing I would pull out of this passage is, as it goes on from the debate about divorce onto the children, the child. Once again, the story says about the importance of children from the perception of Jesus. Yeah, of course, there's blindness in the way that they look at the divorced people. But there's also blindness in the way that they look at the children. In the time of Jesus, a woman and a child were literally completely dependent on the male head of the house. They had nothing. And a man could divorce his wife for burning the toast. And he could do it just by saying, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And she was out. And she was out, could be out with nothing. Literally, not even the clothes that she had on. So who is surprised that somebody like Jesus, with his commitment to love and to justice, hasn't got something to say about divorce? The scripture that he quotes in Genesis is about equality. It's about two people being equally joined. That's what it says. And easily for us, we miss that. Because bring it on. That's what we're used to. But for his time, it was for the Hebrews in their scriptures, though it got lost through time, and Jesus brings it back into the room and says, this is about two people mutually together. the view of another person and the view of a child. Being a follower of Jesus is transformative for the way that you view others. That doesn't make things easier. It makes it more tough. It makes it more demanding. The good news, Jenna, Kevin, Catherine, Camilo and Will, is that we are in this together. And together, we are committed to support one another and to try to open our eyes and to recognize that it's not just about high days and holidays and special days. It's about the ordinary and the everyday. And that's why the bread and the wine is so important. Because it's ordinary. Like you are. And I am. Thanks be to God. Let's be silent and then we will pray. So on this day, we hold up before you, O God, those who are dealing with conflict. And those who know that their marriage is over. But we know about relationship collapsing, not just in marriage, in friendships, in families, in work situations. We hold up to you all those places where there is personal conflict, where relationships have been shattered beyond repair. We ask that you would bring your healing and give compassion. And we know, because we have family members who have had trauma too, that these times of conflict affect a wide circle of people. So we pray for them, that they would be support, that they would be a support and they would help those who are hurting. And we ask, Lord our God, that you would give us wisdom in how we approach complex situations, and you would help us to be sensitive to others in the things that we say. So we pray for those who feel that they are worthless, that nobody cares about them and nobody listens to them. And we ask, O God, that you would help us as a community to move beyond the obsession with the new, the flash, the fabulous, to see you at work in the ordinary, the magnificent everyday. We pray for Pat Foster and the whole of the rest of the family. And we pray that they would know your peace, that they would have the right words and pictures and music to celebrate Martin's glorious life. We pray for all those who mourn on this day. Be with us, O God, as your people, to be a voice for those who are oppressed, the child who is neglected and abused, the person who is the victim of financial impropriety. Give us your courage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. So let us pray. We bring our offering. We offer to you, O God, our failing health and our addictions with alcohol and with work, our worries, our marriages in all their fragility. We offer our failing memories and worries about our business. We offer our anxiety about our immigration status. We offer the exams at school and the lack of apparent success in our work. We offer to you our incontinence and our troubled relationships with our in-laws. We offer our singleness, which is not what we wanted. We offer our tendency to be tempted by pornography and our obsession with our own ego. Take bread, wine, money. We offer you ourselves in our failure, and we ask that you would take us as we are to do a mighty work because of your power in us. Lord, we pray. Amen. Right, gang, up you come. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you. Beautiful. Have a seat. Have a seat. You're about to do your dance, Jenna. Is that right? Sorry, I'm lying. It's good. So, the way it works in the United Reformed Church is that we expect that people will go through some sort of course, some sort of initiation, but it doesn't have to be done in the United Reformed Church. So if somebody has become a church member in another community, we don't make them relearn about Jesus in the United Reformed Church's view of Jesus. That's just nonsense. We believe that if they have been received into membership in other communities, then we need a discussion, and we've had that. But the work of confirmation in other communities is tickety-boo. So these good people probably represent the whole of world Christianity between them, with the evangelical gang and the Baptists and the Roman Catholics and the Dutch Reformed Church. Here they are. Anybody been a Methodist? Oh, yes, Methodists. What else? Is that everything? Yes. That's nearly everything, isn't it, between them? No. Oh, yeah, you're right. Thank you very much. No Orthodox, no Salvation Army, no Quakers. Apart from that, we've got it all covered. So we believe that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who calls people into the membership of the church, and it is in accordance with the decisions of this church's local church meeting that we are now to receive these five people into church membership. It is by baptism that we have received into membership of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. It is in the affirmation of baptismal promises that have been made at times of adult baptism and also when people have been confirmed and to received into membership. So here they are about to unite with us in all our gloriousness. Hurrah. Would you like to get up, please? Could you bear to face them? Could you manage that? You face them and I'll stand here. And I will ask you the promises, and as you remember, the right answer is I do. Now's not the time for a debate. Can we just put it out there? So do you believe and trust in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, maker of heaven and earth, redeemer of the world, and giver of life? Do you trust in God's grace to repent of your sins, renounce evil, and turn to Christ? Do you promise, trusting in God's grace, to be faithful in public and private worship, to live in the fellowship of the church, and to share in its witness? And do you promise by that same grace to follow Christ and to seek to do and to bear his will all the days of your life? And do you trust in his mercy alone to bring you into the fullness of the life of the world to come? So in welcoming these people to be members among us, do you promise them friendship in the Lord? And will you support them in prayer and service that they may continue to grow in the knowledge and the love of God and witness to Jesus Christ, our risen Lord? Beautiful. Let's pray. God of grace, you call us to be your servant people and gather us into the body of Christ. We thank you for sending Will, Camilo, Jenna, Catherine, Kevin to work with us in the living of each day and in the serving your kingdom. Confirm us all in the power of your covenant to live in your spirit, to love each other, and to share the mind of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. So we do have some people to give you a shake of the hand. I'm one of them. And up we come. Tony's down. There we go. God bless you. At last, we've done it. Hurrah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, man. Oh, big day. Camilla, add to your collection, yes, I know. That's you, that's you. That's you, that's you. Now, what we'd like to do is form an orderly queue, and you cannot, no, we can't do that. You've got lunches. So, we'll do it. Round of applause, here we go. Yes, I do want you to stay there. No sneaking off back down. That's good. Let's join to sing. This is Camilo's choice, Amazing Grace. That this is the Lord's table and we do not own it. Everybody who would eat and drink with us is most welcome. The way it works is the elders will serve you. When you get offered bread, if it's right, you take a square and then after you have a moment, you eat it. If you have issues with wheat and gluten, then there's provision for you in these fish containers. When you get the wine, would you hold it? And then we can all drink together. And because some of us have issues with alcohol, there is no alcohol in this wine, so that we may all drink. People of God, rush to this table and know that you are welcome here. People of God, come to this table knowing that what is on offer comes with God's blessing and is a sign that God loves you and God is known in the everyday. Approach this table with caution. If you think you have bought a ticket to eat here, approach this table with caution. If you think your goodness means that God owes you something, approach this table with caution. If you are choosy about who you eat with, for everyone is welcome at this table. And here again, the words of the institution of this feast as they are given by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body. It is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So in the name of Jesus, we take bread, we take wine, and we pray. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have loved us from the beginning. You suffered with our ancestors and called out prophets among them to speak, to challenge, to comfort in demanding times. Merciful God, to show your love again, you sent your Son to suffer with us, to take our pain and to travel with us. Comforting God, we have seen and we have known the lengths to which you go for us, and we will praise your name forever. Open our eyes. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these gifts and open our eyes to recognize you in the mundane and the ordinary. The everyday food that is your gift, the people that are around us, for all these things, we thank you. Amen. Body of Christ. So let us pray. Thank you for your indiscriminate love of us. And thank you for your call to love you, to love others, that will transform the lives that we live. Thank you. Be with us. Amen. Wilhelmina's Choice, The Church is One Foundation, we join to sing 566. Been up to? If you go and see what the children have been doing, it's a heart on one side, and it's the names of all the people that you love. Not all the people, but lots of the people that you love. And if you swing, the names of the people end up on the heart. Isn't that right? Beautiful. So go and have a play. And now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, for now, forever. Amen.